question from Chandanabhu. If the jiva wanted to enjoy separate from Krishna, then couldn't Krishna have given that enjoyment in one moment? So that their experience of separate enjoyment and the resulting suffering, so that the jiva wouldn't have to suffer lifetime after lifetime so much just to get that experience. So actually speaking, from the transcendental perspective, our whole material existence is just like a moment only. And if you want to understand the relativity of time, actually the time flow is like a pyramid. So what is, say, one moment for Brahmaji worked out to be 1 year on earth when the gopas and cows were stolen. So like that, if we move it upwards, further beyond Satyaloka, Brahmaloka, to Goloka, to the spiritual world, I couldn't have Goloka, then actually it is just one moment in the spiritual world which expands over as whatever lifetimes it is. So from the spirit soul's perspective and from Krishna's perspective, things are slightly different. So from Krishna's perspective, the soul desires to enjoy, and Krishna just gives the soul, from the point perspective of the spiritual world where the soul originally belongs, it's just a momentary experience. But from the conditioned soul's perspective, from this world, it is a long experience. So actually Krishna doesn't want us to suffer, and Krishna tries to make it as short as possible. But so the defining analogy to understand the fall of the soul or the suffering of the soul is like that of a dream. In a dream, when a person has a nightmare, actually the person, we could say, is suffering. At the same time, the person is safe. It's not that the tiger is going to devour the person. So Srila Prabhupada repeatedly explains that actually speaking, our whole material existence is like a dream from the spiritual perspective. So now the only difference is between that dream and this dream which we are currently going through, is that this dream is something which requires a process to follow to wake up from. The other dream is over, somebody else can wake us up. Of course the spiritual master can come and wake us up also. But waking up is a relatively simpler act in the material, in our day, our night sleep. But in this case, basically sleeping means, waking up means choosing the desire to serve Krishna. To the extent we choose to enjoy the world, to that extent we continue on in this world. To the extent we choose to wake up from the desire to serve Krishna, to that extent we wake up from this world. So that's how there are such statements in scripture which, for example, say that the soul is a Tibet, the soul is eternally bound. But then there are also statements like the soul never leaves spiritual world. So actually speaking, from the eternity's perspective, the soul never leaves the spiritual world. But from eternity's perspective, it is just a moment. And for all practical purposes, the soul has never left. But from our perspective, present perspective, it is almost like Nitya. Who knows how many lifetimes it is. But the critical thing is that it is all based on our desire. So if we realign our desires, then naturally Krishna will help us to wake up and to return back to the spiritual world. Now it is not a question of what Krishna can do and what Krishna can't do. Because Krishna, if he wants to assert his omnipotence, he can just do anything. He can just take away our free will, and then there will be no problem for us. Or those souls who decide to rebel against him, although the soul is eternal, he can just crush them out of existence also. So the critical thing here is not what Krishna can do or can't do, but the critical thing is what is required for us to redirect our desires to Krishna. Because even if Krishna takes us back in the spiritual world at a time when we do not desire to be there, at a time when we desire to enjoy the material world, then we will not be happy there. So the whole purpose of the soul experiencing material existence is that is what is required for the soul to become purified. So just like sometimes the doctors have to do surgery. Now good doctors, they will not make even one cut on the body more than what is necessary. So because they understand that's painful, that will take time to recover. So they do only that many cuts as are necessary for the operation to be done successfully and for the patient to be on the path of recovery. Similarly, actually Krishna doesn't want to cause us suffering. But whatever is required for us to change our desires, that is what Krishna gives to us. Now, if we say that why doesn't Krishna forcibly change our desires, then there will be no question of free will left. And without free will, there will be no question of love left. And if there's no love left, then there will actually be no ecstasy in the spiritual world. So Krishna could save us from misery in the material world, but then because for saving us from misery in the material world, he would have to take away our free will, then he would have to deprive us of even ecstasy in the spiritual world. Because that same free will, only when it is directed properly to love Krishna, then that brings ecstasy. So that's why we focus here in this way, that actually speaking, Krishna does that which is required for the soul to learn the lesson. And that experience will only be as prolonged as is necessary for the soul to learn the lesson. And so when we actually wake up back in the spiritual world, then at that time it's just like a nightmare. It will be like a harrowing nightmare. But it's just over. So that's why it is what Krishna, what is required to be done for us to purify and redirect our desires. That's what Krishna does. Yeah.